Please turn your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel. And as you're turning there, I want to encourage y'all. We finished the book of Malachi last week, and I have felt God lead me to start in the book that I started in this week for some time now. As a matter of fact, I'm not so sure that I wasn't disobedient a year or so ago, because I'm scared, not scared, but I'm very intimidated. Most pastors are intimidated by the book that God had me start studying this week for our Sunday night class. So come tonight and see which book we're going to be in. Be praying for me, because it's a tough book. It's a very tough book. So be praying. Turn again to the Bible, in your Bible, to the book of Ezekiel. Last week we started a series, and I don't know how long it's going to be, because there's a lot of attributes we need to look at. And the series was asking this question: what does a Christian look like? What does a Christian look like? Well, we all look different. Well, yep, we have different attributes, but we should share some attributes in common. We looked at John chapter 1, verse 1 through 8 for our first message, to find that we cannot know what a Christian looks like until we know who a Christian identifies with. And we saw that Christians identify with, should be firmly and only in Jesus. We should be, listen to me one more time, we should be a reflection of Him. If we call ourselves a Christian, we ought to be a reflection of Him. We learn that if we identify with Jesus, that we also must identify with what He does. Does that make sense? Okay, I'm a Christian, I identify with Jesus. Okay, well, you got to identify with what He does, right? Number one was the Word of God. That God is the creator of all things, and we see Jesus was with Him as all things were created. We saw this as well. We've got to identify with this as well. That Jesus exposed and expels all darkness. That God does not try to hide Himself. We learn that when Jesus came to this world, that the world did not recognize Him. His own people did not receive Him. And He came to shine His light in the darkest of places of this world, that all would accept His free gift of salvation. Now today, we're going to see an example from our scripture of what Christians who identifies with Jesus should look like. Now I know some of y'all Bible scholars are saying, hold on a second. We're talking about Christians. Christians are in the New Testament. There's no Christians in the Old Testament. Well, technically you are right, but our identity can be found in the Old Testament. Do you hear me? And if you don't believe me, come Wednesday night, because we're seeing that. Jesus is in every book of the Old Testament. So let's read Ezekiel chapter 36, starting in verse 24. Ezekiel 36, starting in verse 24. Says, "For I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries, and will bring you into your own land. I will also sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone." This don't apply to Baptists, right? "And give you a heart of flesh. I will place my spirit within you and cause you to follow my statutes and carefully observe my ordinances. Then you will live in the land that I gave your fathers. You will be my people and I will be your God. I will save you from all your uncleanliness. I will summon the grain and make it plentiful. I will not bring famine on you. I will also make the fruit of the trees and the produce of the field plentiful, so that you will no longer experience reproach among the nations on account of famine." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord Jesus, we come to you again asking forgiveness of our sins. And Lord, I pray that you would still our hearts and still our minds. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see ourselves in this scripture this morning. Help us not to look around, but look at ourselves to see who we are and where we should be, Lord. See if our true identity is identifiable with Jesus. God, thank you for this day and allowing us to be here. In Jesus' name, I do pray. And all God's children said,
amen.
Now, the past couple of weeks, I have gone a little long in my Sunday morning message. And whereas some people would say, oh, amen, bro, just preach, preach, preach. And I appreciate that. I really do. But others say, listen, you went a little long. And when you do it 2 weeks in a row, people say, man, that's 2 weeks in a row. And none of y'all might say it, but my wife has. So I kind of tried to trim this one back for you to give you a little break this morning, but it is very impactful, very powerful. And it's not me, it's the Word of God. Amen? Listen to what Warren Wiersbe says about Ezekiel chapter 36. He says, talking about the Hebrew children, our hope is lost. Our hope is lost. That's what the Jewish exiles were saying to each other as they pined away in Babylon. And from the human point of view, that statement was very true. But if the Jews had listened to the prophets that God had sent them, they would have had hope in the Lord and looked forward with anticipation. Swiss theologian Emil Brunner wrote this about hope. What oxygen is for the lungs, such hope is for the meaning of life. Listen to this. Listen to him again. What oxygen is to the lungs, such is hope for the meaning of life. Now, let's break that down here a little bit. How long can you live without oxygen in the lungs? David? So how long can a person who identifies with God live without hope? These Jews were living without hope. Y'all saw what took place last night in Jerusalem, right? In Israel. I wonder if they're having a lack of hope this morning. They didn't have to. God's given them hope. Church, we need to understand that God, even before he sent his son to this earth, always promised his children a brighter path, a future to come. We all today have the same promise God gave his people hundreds of years ago. A Christian, listen to me, please. Listen to me, Christian. A Christian should be filled with hope. I don't care what's going on in your life. I don't care how bad it is. I don't care what's going on. You should be, if you're a child of God, you should be filled with hope. A hope that comes through Jesus, the Son of God. Now, let me show you where I see this hope in our scripture this morning. Did y'all see it? Did y'all see any of it? Let me show you where I see this hope this morning in our scripture. Look at verse 24 again. Verse 24 says this. It says, for I will, I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries, and I will bring you into your land. Now, what had happened? God had warned them, come back to me. Come back to me. Come back to me. Come back to me, return to me. They wouldn't listen. First it was the Assyrian captivity, then about 100 years later it was the Babylonian captivity. And they were captured people. Now there were a few remnants in Jerusalem, but not many, and they were under bondage as well. And all they had to do, listen, all they had to do was listen to God. Do you realize that's all you have to do? That's it. Well, Brother Kyle, he didn't send me a prophet. No, he sent you something better than a prophet. You've got the Word of God. You've got something that they never had. You've got the whole complete Word of God. Well, I don't understand it. Well, that's your fault, not God's fault. He makes it easy. If you want to understand the Word of God, you can understand the Word of God. Listen, I promise you, y'all know I was not a scholar. I was not a reader. I don't like reading, but I love reading the Word of God. Once I accepted Christ as my personal Savior, the Word of God came alive. It came alive in my heart and in my mind. I can read the same, and I do. What do I read every month? Proverbs. Today's the 14th, so what will I read? There you go. Hey, listen, I get something new every time because that's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. It does not matter, church, listen, as we look at this verse again, let's read it again. For I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries, and I will bring you into your own land. The Jews were scattered everywhere. He says, but I promise you, I'm going to bring you back together. We see that completeness on May the 14th, 1948, when Israel became a nation again, right? Understand, it does not matter where you are on this earth. It's not your final destination. It's not. If you were to die today, you have one of two destinations, heaven or hell. Your choice. You choose. But this is not our final destination. No matter what comes my way, no matter where I go, no matter where God takes me, I have hope. I have hope knowing this is not my final destination. Hey, and did you know this? If I was to die today and I was to go to heaven and stand in the presence of Jesus and the angels and everything, that's not my final destination either. Did y'all know that? It's not. Heaven's not your final destination. Brother Kyle, you talking crazy. No, listen. Revelation 21:1 says this. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I'm going to miss that, but God's going to help me with that. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. Is the new heaven going to be our final destination? I don't know. I don't know. I do know this as I look through Scripture and I look at God and I study God. Brother Frank, he likes to create. He likes to make. He likes to create things, beautiful things with his hands. So what we have now is if we die, we're going to heaven. What's heaven going to be like? It's going to be like heaven. That's the only way I can explain it. It's going to be like heaven. But see, that heaven and this earth are going to pass away. Why? I don't know. Scripture says it's going to. I know why the earth is going to pass away, because God is going to wipe this earth away so man can't point to it and show any of his accomplishments whatsoever at all. Everything you're going to see, let's say 5,000, 10,000 years from now, is all going to be created by the hand of God. Man had nothing to do with it. This is not our final destination. It's not. Well, Brother Kyle, what are you trying to get at? We ought to have hope that this isn't our final destination, especially if you're a child of God. Now, if you're lost and you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, we need to talk after the service. You need to be worried. Because it doesn't, I mean, this heaven, the first heaven, the second heaven, I don't know if God's going to create anything else after that. I'm not sure. You're not going to experience that. But I have hope. Christian, you ought to have hope because this is not your final destination. I love not knowing what's coming ahead of me, going down a new road. Do y'all like going down new roads? I've lived in Savannah for 12 years, and Amy and I turned down a road downtown the other day, and I'd never been down that road before. I mean, Amy was like, this is, how have we missed this? It's gorgeous. What's the name of the road? I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe I should have written it down. But it was beautiful. I mean, all the houses were perfectly lit. And I mean, that's what I'm excited about. That's where my hope comes. I know a few things about heaven, but I don't know it all. Hey, Miss Dell, I know this. Everybody who's gone, I don't know anybody who's come back. Other than Jesus. They all liked it enough, they stayed. I have hope in that. Now, look at verse 25. Verse 25 gives us another hope. It says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities, all of your idols. Well, what does this remind y'all of? Does this not remind you of the purification and the cleansing that God gave you when you accepted Him as your personal Savior? Does it not? Do you know what Jesus did when you accepted Him as your Lord and Savior? Do you know what He did for you? And you didn't see it at first. You might have felt it a little bit. Does anybody still sin in here? Tammy, you sin? Do you sin? We all sin, right? But something happened when I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. I was a professional cusser. Really. Not as good as the professional triangle player, but I mean, I was a professional cusser. And when I accepted Christ as my personal Savior, he took that away from me. I can't explain it. He did it. When I accepted Christ as my personal Savior, I stopped stealing. Look how you, I mean, you're a preacher. You used to steal. Well, I wasn't a preacher when I stole, okay? I wasn't even saved. But I was one who'd like to see what I could get away with. He took that away. Amen? When I got saved, I was with Amy, but my eyes were all over the place. We weren't married. We were just dating when I got saved. When I got saved, my eyes were focused on that woman there. He gave me a new love. Now, there's some sins in all of our lives that, just like Paul says, listen, can you remove this thorn from my flesh? And God says, no. It's there for my purpose and my reason. God removed some sin, and He wants you to remove other sin.
Amen.
Now, are we ever going to be sinless like Vicky? No. No, not in this world. But we should constantly be getting closer to that sinless life as we grow with the Lord. Verse 25 says we were made clean. Jesus did that for us. Brother Kyle, what are you talking about? My hope is this. I'm tired of sin. I'm tired of sin. Y'all? I'm sick of it. Do you ever find yourself and you'll sin and you'll say, why did I do that again? Why did I do that again? I'm sick of it. I'm tired of being that way. I'm tired of being in that state. I have hope that one day that's going to be gone. It's going to be gone. What's it going to be like? I don't know, but it's going to be gone. And where I'm going to be, Miss Kim, I'm going to be surrounded by a bunch of perfect Christians. I'm tired of hanging around a bunch of sinners. Aren't y'all? There's something else. I have hope. God wants to move you. He wants to clean you. He wants to do something else. So let's look at verse 26. Verse 26 says this. It says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. A new heart. A heart not of stone. A heart of compassion. A heart that loves all people. This has taken a while, y'all. And God's still working on me in this aspect, as I'm sure He is with a lot of y'all. But before we accepted Christ as our personal Savior, we had a heart of stone. I didn't like anybody. I wasn't prejudiced. I hated everybody. I didn't like anybody. But God doesn't save us to keep us that way. You see, when we accept Christ as our personal Savior, we love what He loves and we hate what He hates. And the fact of the matter is, Jesus loves everybody. Look at John 3:16. There's nobody that He does not like. He doesn't like some of their actions. So therefore, we have to love like God loves. And I'm going to tell you something. That's hard. It's hard sometimes in the church. There's Christians that aren't very lovable sometimes, are there?
I'm gonna be, hey, Miss Sue, I'm gonna be real honest. Sometimes I'm not lovable. But you see, when Jesus saves you, he touches your heart, and he turns that heart from stone to flesh. He changes you. And you might not even see it. You might not even know it. But one day you're going to be walking down the street and you're going to see something, or you're going to see somebody, and whereas you could have walked away in times past, you can't, now you've got to do something. Why? Because your heart is flesh and God's touched you. When we allow God through his Son, Jesus Christ, to do all of these things, something amazing happens. Look at verse 28. Verse 28 says this, then you will live in the land that I gave your fathers, and you will be my people, and I will be your God. What do we see there? We see a unity between God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and what God created, and that's us. As Christians, when we accept this, when we acknowledge this, when we have hope in this, what we've seen in our scripture, when he cleans us, when he changes us, when he moves us, when he fills us, then you'll understand that I am yours and you are mine. Guys, I think a lot of us have a hard time understanding that we are his possession. We're his. And he's ours. And we ought to look at the possession that we have with him the same as he has, as he looks at us. I'm his and he's mine. The title of this message is, What Does a Christian Look Like? Part 2. Can I tell you what a Christian looks like from this morning's message? We look like people full of hope. We ought to look like people who are full of hope. And guys, a lot of times we're not. We walk around and sins and self and circumstances and Satan and self-righteousness, they encompass our lives, and we look past the hope that we have, and we have so much hope in the future to come. But we don't act like it. Well, Brother Kyle, I don't have this. No, but you'll have in the future. Well, I want this. Well, listen, you just stop wanting and look at Jesus. That's where our hope is. If I lost everything, I'd still have hope in Jesus. It does not matter how bad things get or how bad things are going to be. We are a people of hope. Aren't we? Aren't we? The first thing every person in this world must do to experience such amazing hope is accept Jesus as their personal Savior. Now, if you're already a Christian, you've been given a promise of hope. Are you living like that hope is alive in you? Can the lost world see the hope that you have in Christ? Church, listen to me. As we grow closer and closer to the coming of the Lord, and it's getting darker and darker. Can y'all see it? Amen. It's getting darker and darker. This world needs to see the hope that God has put inside of you. Let the world see it. Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Our Father in heaven, Lord Jesus, we love you. And God, I thank you, Lord, that I have hope in all things because of you. God, bless us during this time of invitation. Be with one who might be here who doesn't know you as their personal Savior, and let today be the day of their salvation. Pray that you would bring Christians down to acknowledge the hope that you've given in them. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, you need to come to the altar and just spend some time with the Lord. Will you come? Mm-hmm.